Fast Eddie here in the EAA studios, and with me today is Dan Haig, who is the chairman of the Culpeper Air Fest, and also we have Kerry Ward from the DAV. Good morning.
Good morning. And now, thanks for having us, Eddie.
Oh, it's great to have you people here. We understand that the Culpeper Airport played a very important part recently in the Arsenal of Democracy flyover. What all were you guys doing?
In fact, we did. It was such an incredible experience. 56 airplanes altogether participated in Arsenal Democracy. The four engine bombers were at Manassas. The other 52 airplanes were down with us at Culpeper. So we had all the logistics for them. We land all the flight briefings there, made sure all the pilots and crew had rental cars, hotels, and all that stuff. And it was just an incredible sight to look at 52 vintage, authentic World War II airplanes, all flyable there at the same time. It was also very fascinating during the flight itself. They named each of the 17 flights. There were 17 flights of formation, and they all named them after different phases of the World War II campaign. And I think even the FAA really got into their traffic controllers. Like if you were familiar with the Battle of Midway, Strawberry 5 was the one that found the Japanese fleet.
That's right.
So the PBY was flying, and he was Strawberry Flight, right?
Nice.
So it was neat having the air traffic controllers get into it and say, Strawberry Flight, you're cleared to go down the Potomac. So that was neat. So they loved it. Everyone was into it.
That's a great touch of history, because if Strawberry 5 hadn't found the Japanese fleet, oh boy, Midway definitely would have gone the other direction.
It definitely would have. But it was remarkable to see, and it was amazing how many people showed up for this thing. So there was a strong amount of public interest in this. They were hoping maybe 5,000 people would show up on the mall, and I think estimates were somewhere between 50 and 80,000 people showed up. What I love is outside the Washington, D.C. area is the Beltway, the 495 Beltway. And as we're circling over there, we managed to shut down the whole Beltway.
So, wow.
So everyone was too fascinated by this to keep driving. They wanted to stop and watch.
I'll tell you what, I was there on the Washington Mall, and I would say that those crowd estimates were probably pretty close. It was a packed house. And it was also very cool, too. Because you don't get to see World War II stuff flying down the Potomac all the time. And I understand that you people played a very big part of this, not just with the logistics, but also with the history of this event. You've been doing something that was sort of the precursor to this.
In fact, started in 2013, was supposed to be the first Potomac flight. We were supposed to have 25 Texans fly down over the Arlington Cemetery in honor of disabled American veterans, the DAV. It got rained out that year, so we were able to successfully execute that last year. That required a lot of coordination across several government agencies. So that flight we did last year, 24 Texans down the Potomac, over the Arlington Cemetery, over the Pentagon, you know, that required shutting down National Airport, Reagan Airport. That kind of paved the way for what we're able to do with Arsenal Democracy. And so we've decided that we want to do that again, make it an annual event, not just a one-time occurrence. So we have another Potomac flight coming up this year. This year we're going to include some B-25s and then a small collection of Texans to go with it. Each year, we're thinking, we'll make it just a little bit different, show some different airplanes, and keep the legacy alive.
Are you looking for any warbird pilot, or are there any specific qualifications that they need if they wanted to join in with this effort?
So they're going to need to be formation qualified, but each year we're going to be making it open to different groups and that. We try not to be overly exclusive in terms of what we do. So we're right now talking to various B-25 pilots, B-25 owners, about which ones are going to come in. And each year we'll probably reach out to different groups of Texans. Maybe we'll do a P-51 flight some year, maybe a Stearman flight, a PT-17 flight. There's a lot of C-47s in the area, so we might drum up some C-47s some year and have them do it. just each year to make it interesting, different, and honor a different segment.
Sounds like it's going to be a very interesting event. You were talking about logistics earlier, and one of the things that many people don't realize is, well, your average American spectator doesn't realize that the airspace down there in D.C. is very highly controlled. The only time they hear about it is when somebody busts into the airspace. You guys had to have jumped through a tremendous number of red tape obstacles to try to pull this off. How bad was it? And, well, first off, how many government agencies did you work with, and how onerous was the paperwork?
There were 17 agencies involved up until some postal worker landed a gyrocopter on the Capitol lawn. That brought an 18th agency involved, which was the Capitol Police, who suddenly said, well, we need to be involved in this Arsenal Democracy approval. So it became 18 agencies altogether. So it was a tremendous amount of work. We had Secret Service came out and inspected the planes the day we flew. TSA was there, FAA, several agencies that are involved with national security, make sure all the pilots are vetted, make sure there's no threats involved from anything that could do anything harmful. Park Service, National Park Service was part of it as well, because we're basically penetrating airspace around the Washington Mall and the Washington Monument. We came within about 1,000 feet of the Washington Monument, so they were involved in it as well. So it was enormously a lot of coordination required to do that.
How much time did it take to put the Arsenal of Democracy flight together?
It was about 8 months of planning.
Well, that's not bad. I figured it would be more like a year and a half, 2 years.
Well, again, what helped was the Potomac flight last year set the stage. A lot of the same players involved with the FAA and TSA, and those are some of the big ones you have to get involved right away, is those organizations. But I will tell you is that this, we think we've broken some barriers with this. Now the Department of Defense is contacting us and talking about additional flights that they want to see. They want to have a Korean War type flight. They want to have a Vietnam War type flight. Now, those are a little bit harder to assemble, some of those planes. I think we find that there's a lot of World War II airplanes still flying. Seems to be fewer Korean War and Vietnam War Vietnam War level airplanes, probably fewer. But nonetheless, the interesting thing is seeing how this was successful and what's precipitated out of it.
Did you get any feedback from the government about how it went?
Yeah, they were very, very pleased with it. There was an emergency during the flight. One of the airplanes had sprung a hydraulic leak and had to do an emergency landing at Reagan Airport. That was briefed. It executed as planned. So all the feedback from the government's been, this went well. We're willing to talk about doing others like this.
Well, that's great. I think the problem you're going to have with Vietnam, vintage aircraft of that era are few and far between, especially F-4 Phantoms. There's one in private ownership right now, the Collings Foundation. That's going to be a bit of a beast to get down there, but you might be able to get some help with the government, because they still have a squadron of Wild Weasel F-4s out in Arizona. Might be something worth looking into when you get to Vietnam. And, of course, Huey helicopters. And, there's a lot of possibilities here, and I'm sure that all of your people are working on those possibilities.
Yes. So the other thing I wanted to mention is we have our annual air show. So the Potomac flight will happen, weather permitting, on October 9th, that Friday of this year. And then on the 10th is our annual Culpeper Air Fest, our air show. It's a free air show. All the funding for that is provided by sponsors, and there's a fairly significant fundraising effort that goes on every year to raise the funds for this. We bring several key performers in it, Scott Francis, Art Knowles with his L-39, and
well, Art Knowles is local to you guys, isn't he?
Most of these people we're able to pull in are local, and they love. There's a small airport feel to what we do. Culpeper is a wonderful community, very aviation friendly. In fact, I moved to Culpeper because of that, because of the airport and because of the community, mm-hmm. personally. And that camaraderie carries through to the Air Fest. So a lot of these performers, you know, like Art Knowles, charges a lot of money to go to other air shows, but he recognizes what we are, and you know, he might give us a smidgen of a discount for what he does, because he's been doing it for so many years, and he accepts the fact that we're a small town airport just outside of D.C. Good, you know, if we have good weather, we'll have 10,000 people that show up or so. It's a wonderful air show, a lot of great support. We have DAV that comes out there. We have a lot of local vendors, local colleges, and that come out. We're going to have an actual drone show for the first time this year as well. Put on some drones to help inspire youth, right? So we're looking at things that will get the younger people excited.
No, that sounds like a lot of fun. I have a couple of I prefer the term multicopter or quadcopter, but I have a couple of them, and they are a hoot to fly. And you know, people look at them, oh, they got to be difficult to fly, and they're not. They're wonderful. So you've got this going on October the 10th. For those of you who don't know, Art Knowles has the only privately owned Harrier in the world. Just picked up a two-seater not too long ago. That's going to be fun to fly. So, you know, it's great that you can get him in there, because the people that do know about Art, they want to come down and they want to see this. What other aircraft do you have coming in?
We have Andrew McKenna and his P-51. He's been an annual performer for us, so he'll come back. And Carrie, help me out. Who else?
Well, we're doing a buddy boxing as well for the kids. That's where we start
that's
off.
Right.
So that's a fun activity, help get the kids, again, involved in aviation. We mentioned Andrew McKenna, Scott Francis, and his MX. We've got several warbirds. We've got Larry Kelly and his B-25 Panchito.
Yes.
And clearly we have some T-6s there.
And then we also are very close to a great group of biplane flyers called Flying Circus.
Right, from Bealeton.
Yep. So they'll be there.
You're going to have a good time with those guys.
We are. They're a hoot.
They're
a real hoot.
They are. They're a real old-time barnstorming type air show. And, you know, have biplane will travel. And they
exactly.
were also featured, too, in the Arsenal to Democracy flyover.
They were. They had their steermen were part of it. So
I saw a tremendous number of photographs taken by a couple of professional photographers that managed to hitch a ride. And a couple of them were very, very good. So it sounds like you have a great thing going. If people want to find out more information, you got a website?
We do. It's CulpepperAirFest.com.
Sounds like a good time. Well, Dan, I hate to cut you off, but
we really appreciate the time to come and talk about it. And we invite people on the East Coast to check out Culpepper. Come spend the weekend and enjoy the time, enjoy the air show, enjoy the local community.
Sounds like a plan. I've got Dan Haig and Kerry Ward from Culpepper Air Fest. I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.